morning, everyone. How are you doing? I just want to tell you all, I miss you so much. I'd rather be in this church than any other church in America or around the world, for that matter. I'd fly from Florida. I'd drive 3 whole days just to get here for a Sunday service, and we did. And we're thrilled to be here. Rosemary and I were enjoying some time, and I enjoyed a little bit more time off than she did. The first part was her time off from me. Then we got together and went on a little cruise. But I miss you so much. I just couldn't wait to get back here. Appreciate so much. I want to say before I get into the message today that I'm so grateful for those who stood behind this pulpit and delivered the Word of God for the last 4 weeks. Were you blessed by it? I was blessed. I was a little bit concerned last Sunday, and I think Pastor Matt, our executive pastor, did a great job pulling things together, and I said, you know, it's up to you whether you're going to have service or not. It's fine down here in Florida, but you're the man. And so I tuned in a little bit to watch Pastor Dave. In the 11 o'clock service, there was about 30 people here. And part of me was like, maybe I should let Dave have another go at it. But then I thought, oh, no, I've been gone for 4 weeks. He's going to have to wait for a while. But I appreciate your being in attendance for those. And I appreciate with gratitude those who served in this pulpit in my absence. Are you ready for the Word of God today? So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to two texts today. They're not very far apart. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 29. Then if you have the manual dexterity to turn, I call this the two-finger method. One finger in Matthew 7, the other finger in Luke chapter 6. Two texts today. Of course, we'll put them both up on the screen. We're going to read from the Word of God in just a minute. As you can imagine, I've spent a lot of time in prayerful consideration of what I would preach today. I recently began my 19th year of being the lead pastor of Tiffany Fellowship Church. I've had the privilege of getting some extended time off, and so this is my first sermon of the year. Fasten your seatbelts, buckle up. We're liable to be here till well in the afternoon. I'm kidding, of course. This is my first sermon of the year, and every time I get some extended rest, like I have had the opportunity at the conclusion of a very busy year, a very busy season in the church calendar, I try to evaluate my effectiveness and determine with the help of the Lord whether my leadership is still relevant and helpful to this important church. And I will affirm now at the beginning of the year, of course it's the beginning of the year for me, that I remain committed to preach the Bible in a passionate, accurate, deep, uncompromising, and understandable way for as long as the Lord gives me strength and the elders, staff, and members of this great congregation will have me. I am as committed as ever to the inspired, inerrant, authoritative, unfailing Word of God, which is our highest rule of faith and conduct. And I am convicted to do all I can as leader of this church to help you go deeper in your walk with God. To that end, let me begin the message the Lord has put in my spirit for you today. It's the first message I preach of the year to this congregation. And if I could just say it, I think I believe this is a special word from God. When I called in to my assistant, who also happens to be my daughter, and told her, put the title of my message in the weekly email blast, she asked me an important question. She said, is this going to be a series or just one-off? And I said rather naively, it's just going to be one-off. I hope she didn't take a poll because I'm going to continue next week. So I'm going to only preach half of it today. I'm going to continue this message next week. Will you stand with me and let's read Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. The New International Version will be on the screen, and then we'll flip over to Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49, a parallel passage. And I'll show you the significance of using these two texts together in just a moment. This is the word of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Therefore, Matthew 7, 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Now flip over with me, if you would, to this parallel passage in Luke, Luke chapter 6, beginning with 46, and we'll continue down to 49. Listen to Jesus' words here. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. This is the word of the Lord. Can you say amen to it? Father, bless this, your word, to our hearing today. I pray that you would bless and anoint it. Help us, God, to pay particular attention to your words. Because each of us in this room today, each of us watching via the online campus, are building a house of faith. God, how they build it and where they build it is key to whether it will stand against the coming storm. So I pray, God, that you, by your Holy Spirit, will convict us individually and apply this word to our heart as you see fit, both corporately and individually. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today's message is titled, The Coming Storm. Now, that title might seem a little strange to some of you, and as I was discussing it, a three-day road trip from Florida back to Kansas City with my wife, I told her the title, and she said, "Well, that might. What do you mean? What do you mean by that?" And as I came in the room today, some of you knew what I was going to be preaching on. You're like, "Are you going to speak about Israel? Are you going to speak about Iran? Are you going to speak about the storm that's happened?" And I would just like to say all of that applies today. It all applies today. This last week, and I'd ask you if you would pray for my father who's watching today, but he woke up one morning, the last day of my trip, and he really couldn't walk. Something had happened to his leg, and he hobbled around and used my mother's walker, and he had some other symptoms that were terrible. And so I spent the last day with my parents in the emergency room. There was a storm that suddenly beat against the house of my father's health. I would ask you to pray, if you would, for him over the next couple of weeks. My mother has some very important decisions to make about how to pursue getting him better. But I imagine there are others of you who have been in touch with Pastor Dave throughout the month who are encountering health storms in your life. A sudden diagnosis, a sudden loss of job, a sudden dissolving of an important relationship, Certainly the storm brewing in the Middle East is a storm that will come against our house. What I mean when I say the coming storm is that everybody in this room, everybody watching, whether it's now or in the future, there's a storm going to attack and going to hit your house. It's going to hit your life. And Jesus is using figurative language here to make a literal point. There's storms coming. Will you be ready? Will you be ready? And so today's message is titled, The Coming Storm. And let me give you just a little bit of context. I want to talk about three things that will help us understand these texts. First of all, the Matthew text, which is, in fact, comes from the Sermon on the Mount, and the Luke text, the Sermon on the Plain, are separate sermons on different occasions with many significant similarities. Now, there's a lot of liberal scholars that say, because the details don't match exactly, there are errors in the scripture. No. Jesus taught this message all over the Galilean area. Some heard the Lucan version when he was maybe in Chorazim, another village near Galilee. Some of them heard Luke where he preached from the Mount of Beatitudes. The fact of the matter is Jesus was an itinerant preacher, and he preached basically the same message all around the shore of Galilee. In Matthew, the scripture tells us Jesus was standing on a mountain. We call it Sermon on the Mount. In Luke, he was standing on a plain, the Sermon on the Plain. Different occasions, basically the same sermon, but a few different details. And these details are what I want to talk about a little bit this morning. They're important to details. The Matthew sermon was longer and was preached to his followers. To his followers, his close. So it was an intimate sermon. It was more intimate. The Luke sermon was a sermon to the crowd. It was preached from a plain, and it was shorter and taught to a bigger crowd. What I'm trying to say is they had a similar content, different and important details. And we're going to talk about those significant details. Jesus, as I said, an itinerant preacher, preached similar sermons all over Galilee, and what we have are excerpts from two of those different sermons. Second thing I need you to understand about the context of this message is that these sermons represent a turning point in the message of Jesus. The Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Plain, they are both what the scholars believe was represent a turning point in the message of Jesus. Now listen, this is very important, because if we don't get this, if we don't understand this, then we can misunderstand the message of Jesus. It's a turning point. Jesus goes in a completely different direction in his teaching when it comes to Matthew 5 and to Luke 6. Okay? In Matthew 4, for instance, he's talking about repentance. He's talking about how you enter the kingdom, how you come to Jesus. Okay? So when he's talking about how you come to Jesus, he's talking about a different kind of thing. But then in Matthew 5, he pivots. He turns. His message changes. In Matthew 5, he's talking about how you live and grow in the kingdom. All right, so Matthew 4, repentance, how you enter the kingdom. Matthew 5, how you live and grow in the kingdom. How to follow Jesus. So in other words, Matthew 4, he's saying how to come to Jesus. Matthew 5, this is how you follow Jesus. Listen to me, there's a difference between coming to Jesus and following Jesus. So let me just summarize very quickly the turning point. Very quickly, if you're taking notes, jot this down. Let me summarize the turning point. It goes from salvation to sanctification. His message goes from friendship to lordship. It's a difference, right? And from follower to disciple, and from hearer to doer. Okay? Up to this point, Jesus was saying, hear my words. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And now he's saying, listen close, the message is going to change. Okay? So that's kind of a summary of the turning point in the message of Jesus. The last thing I need you to kind of pay attention to about the context is that these texts come at the conclusion of long dissertations, okay? In other words, they're the ending of Jesus' sermons. The Sermon on the Mount ends with this illustration. The Sermon on the Plain ends with this illustration. Again, figurative language to make a literal point, okay? Luke's text, the Sermon on the Plain, asks the question at the altar call best. He says, and I'm throwing it on the screen, Luke chapter 6, verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Okay? So this is a call to obedience, a call to commitment. And let me just say, at the end of this message this morning, I'm going to call you to commitment, as I do at the end of every sermon, a call to commitment. All right, so understanding those three contextual things, let's break into the body of this sermon, and I want to talk about these texts in two sections, okay? Two sections to this sermon. Section number one, let's learn from the text, okay? Let's take a moment and learn some lessons from the text together, okay? And I want to touch on three lessons, three major lessons that these texts teach us. Number one, we cannot predict the storms of life. We cannot predict the storms of life. Jesus tells us we can see signs of the times and know that things are coming, stuff is happening. In fact, the whole Olivet Discourse that he preaches way, way later on in Matthew, he talks about when you see these things happening, wars, rumors of wars, when you see these things happen, the end has not yet come. Whoa, say what now? It's just the beginning of birth pains. Whoa, okay, I'm going to need a little more than that. Nobody knows the day or the hour. Nobody knows. In Galilee, let me tell you something, in Galilee, on the Sea of Galilee, it was very hard to predict storms. In fact, you read the Gospels, you'll find out that quite a few times Jesus and the disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a storm comes up that threatens to swamp the boat. This happens in the Galilee all the time because of the way it is. It's like a wind tunnel. And all of a sudden, what was a nice, peaceful, calm lake becomes a horrendous lake about to tip the boat over. You can't predict it. It just comes out of nowhere. These disciples and Jesus wouldn't have been in that boat had they known the storm was coming. It just came out of nowhere. You can't predict the storms of life, no matter how hard you try. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about being born of the Spirit, remember that? In John chapter 3, he likened the unpredictability of the Spirit to the unpredictability of the wind and weather. He linked the two together. Let me read it for you. John chapter 3, verse 6. Again, he's talking to Nicodemus about being born of the Spirit. He says, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going." In other words, man, the Spirit is like the wind. And what is the wind? It does whatever it wants. It blows wherever it wants. Now, let me just say, we're getting pretty good now with modern technology at predicting winter storms. My brother, who lives now in Florida, said they're getting snow down in Florida. It's like, I moved from Wisconsin down to Florida to get away from snow. Now it's snowing a little bit down here. He says, and people are freaking out. They're buying up all the bread. They're buying up all the water. There's nothing on the shelves, even at Costco. And I'm like, welcome to our world, right? Welcome back to winter. We're getting pretty good at predicting winter storms, but the storms of life, listen to me, the storms of life are often, most often, unpredictable. I have a friend of mine, close friend, not associated with our church, who called me recently and said his wife walked in and said, after 25 years of marriage, and I married them years and years and years ago, it's over, I'm done, he's shocked, out of nowhere, wham, his life going to change. A storm hit his life. Listen, we often wake up in a life storm that we didn't predict, we didn't see coming. It came as a complete shock to us. Maybe there are some of you this morning, if you're not there today, you will be there. And let me say this, while we cannot predict storms, life storms, we should expect them. While we cannot predict storms, we should expect them. Look at what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. I sometimes talk to Christians, sometimes talk to people even in this congregation. They're caught off guard by the storms of life. Pastor, I've been praying. I've been given to the church. I've been given to missions all these years. This isn't supposed to happen to me. Right? Well, we can't predict the storms. We should expect them. Peter says, don't be surprised when this kind of stuff happens. Don't be surprised, as if, whoa, this should never happen to me. He says this ordeal, this fiery ordeal, can I just come out and say it? This storm, this life storm that has come on you to test you. Don't get freaked out like you didn't expect this to happen. You should have been prepared. I know it's naive. It's a naive, shallow Christian who thinks that they are somehow immune or exempt from the storms of life. First lesson, we cannot predict the storms of life. Second lesson, we cannot prevent the storms of life. We cannot prevent them. In another passage of Scripture, Jesus says, John notes this in his gospel, chapter 16, verse 33, I have told you these things. Here, this is Jesus speaking. He's speaking to his disciples. He said, I'm telling you these things so that in me you may have peace. Look at this. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. Right? You can't prevent. Jesus says it straight up. You're going to have trouble. In this world, you're going to have trouble. You can't predict it. You can't prevent it. Jesus said you're going to have trouble. It's inevitable, sooner or later. So, here's what we need to learn. While we cannot prevent storms, we should not panic over them. While we cannot prevent storms, we shouldn't panic over them. God gives his people peace and assurance of his presence with his people in every storm. God gives his people an assurance of his presence in every storm. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 3. This is a fantastic scripture. It's talking about Jacob, but how many of you know we're grafted in, right? We're a part of the seed of Abraham. We're grafted into the family of God. Look what Isaiah 43, 1 through 3 says. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Look at this. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. He promises to be with us in the fiery ordeals, the flooding and the storms of life. He promises to be with us. For the child of God, listen, it is never if the storm will come. Listen to me, it's so important. Can I just say, I want to say this prophetically. For some of you in this room, for some of you listening online, this will be the most important sermon you ever hear in your life, of eternity, if you pay attention. For the true child of God, it's never if the storm will come. It is when the storm will come. We cannot predict the storms. We cannot prevent the storms. What can we do then? And that brings us to the third lesson from the text. We can only prepare for the coming storms. We cannot prevent them, we cannot predict them, but we can prepare. And here's how this works. Give me a few minutes to unpack this. Here's how we prepare. First of all, and by the way, I'm going to continue this next week, so I'm not going to try to get everything out. But let me tell you what the scripture in our text tells us about how to prepare for coming storms. Matthew says, the wise build on the rock. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise who built his house on the rock. Matthew says the wise build on the rock. Now, what is the rock? Notice on the screen I capitalized the word rock. You know why I capitalize it? Because the rock, the cornerstone, is Jesus. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, Paul says it clearly. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the rock, the cornerstone, the foundation stone. Now, let me just tell you something. This is really important. Pay attention to this. The next few minutes important. This very concept is prophesied in the Old Testament. This is so important. This is so important that God made sure that it was shown in the Old Testament so it could be fulfilled in the New. I want to show you this from the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. Look at this. So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Isaiah prophesying here. He says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. Now I want you to pay particular attention to the word it. Because something's going to change. Something's going to change from the old covenant to the new. The it changes. In the Old Testament, okay, foreshadowed, right? Foreshadowed. What's previewed in the old is seen in the new, is fulfilled in the new. Let's look at the new. Fulfilled in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. Guess which scripture Peter is quoting? He's quoting the Isaiah scripture. For in the scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in, say it, him will never be put to shame. The it becomes a him in the New Testament. You say, Peter's misquoting the scripture. No, he's bringing further light to the scripture. A New Testament translation. It, the cornerstone, the foundation stone, it becomes a hymn in the New Testament. I love it. It's so fantastic. He who trusts in him, the one who trusts in him, will never be put to shame. Okay, so Matthew says the wise build on the rock, the cornerstone, the foundation. They build their life on Jesus. Luke says that well built is dug down deep. Let me give me just a second to flesh this one out. It's so important. Matthew says the wise build on the rock. Luke, telling basically the same story in a little bit different way, Jesus says, well built means dug down deep. Look at Luke 6:48. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because, look at this, it was well built. A well-built faith, a well-built house of faith is dug down deep. It's dug down deep. Jesus talks about the shallow spiritual life that is not dug deep. He talks about this in Matthew chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, when he talks about the four different types of soil. How many of you remember this from the scripture? There's four different types of soil, right? I'm just going to refer to the rocky soil. Look at it here in Matthew chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they, look at this, have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, can I just tell you, life storm, trouble or persecution comes because of the word, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this next week, they quickly fall away. Now understand this, this should shake us. They receive the word with gladness and joy. But their roots don't go down deep. Their roots can't get past the rocky soil. Can I tell you something? Listen to me. Let me just say this. Jesus is teaching here in both these passages. People fall away. People turn their back on God. People deconstruct their faith because they have no deep roots. Too shallow. Can I just tell you that the whole mission vision of this church is to teach you, lead you, provide opportunities for you and your family to dig down deep. Every once in a while people come up to me and say, what's the mission and vision of the church? And I want to just say, you're not paying attention. It's on everything. It's on our website. And for heaven's sakes, it's the password to our Wi-Fi in here. Go deep. Go deeper, deeper, deeper. Why? Because Jesus said the house that is going to make it through the storm is going to be the one that is dug down deep. There's coming a storm. Listen to me, friend. There's coming a storm to our country, to our land, to our families, to our health. There's coming storms in our life. The only way we can be prepared is if we dig down deep. Mile wide and an inch deep Christianity is not going to get you through the storm. We got to go deep. No foundation. Many Christians are losing their faith. They're deconstructing. Why? No firm foundation, no deep roots. Persecution, trouble, storms cause them to fall away quickly. Can I just speak to anyone in this room who in the future is going to turn their back on their faith? It's going to happen. Because it's going to happen if your roots don't go deep down. The well-built house will not be shaken. I love that. Jesus said in Luke 6:48, they are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on the rock, and when a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well-built. The well-built house dug down deep will not be shaken. Something else we do to prepare. Matthew says, the foolish hear, but do not do. Okay, Matthew tells us in Sermon on the Mount, the foolish hear, but do not do. They do not practice. Matthew 7:26, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, hears but doesn't do, hears but doesn't obey, hears but doesn't do. Listen, can I just tell you something? To hear the gospel, to hear the word of the Lord, to hear a sermon is not going to get it done. If you hear only and don't do, that's foolishness. That doesn't get it done. Did you know that it is a sin to hear but not do? I'll tell you, it's called the sin of ought. A lot of us, we practice this sin. It's our favorite sin, the sin of ought. I ought to have done that. Jesus was fond of saying this to the Pharisees, you ought to have done that. This you ought to have done. You should have done that. You know better. This you ought. You knew better because you heard. Faith comes by hearing, but faith is not complete until we do, we practice, we act. Okay? So Matthew says, foolish hear, but don't do. Luke, and I love the nuance here. This nuance is so good. Luke says the foundationalists say, but don't do. Okay, in Matthew, Jesus emphasizes this idea that they hear but don't do. In Luke, he puts a little emphasis on a little bit different. They say but don't do. Look how he starts his altar call in Luke 6. Verse 46 and 49, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? In other words, you talk it, but you don't walk it. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. So Jesus in Luke teach us two destructive habits. Hear it out. Two destructive habits. Hearing and talking, but not doing. Hearing and talking, but not doing. Again, the sin of ought. If you hear, you ought to do. If you talk, you ought to obey. One more scripture before I leave this. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Merely listening is deception. Everybody getting that? Whoa. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. All right. So those are three lessons. Again, please come back next week. I'm going to get going deep about trials. I'm going to go in deep about these storms. But let's conclude this morning by talking very briefly about the second section, and I'm just going to go through these quickly. Don't have to take a lot of time. Let's obey the text. I started by saying let's learn from the text, but let's obey the text. And I want to give you five ways to practice these texts. Five quick ways to practice these texts. Number one, a painless, carefree life is a dangerous expectation to have. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. If you think that being a Christian is going to keep the storms away, you are sadly mistaken, and you are headed for a wake up. The storms will crush you if you think that God's plan and purpose for you is to make your life carefree and painless. God promises to take our sins away. He doesn't promise to take all our troubles away. In fact, He has purpose and plans for our troubles. I'm going to talk about that next week. Stay on topic, Barry. Okay. God never promises that anywhere, a carefree, painless existence. Never in the Bible. So don't fall for it. It says in the Psalms that he will keep his angels guard over you lest you cast your foot against a stone. That's poetic literature. We interpret that differently. And there are times when God does intervene and he keeps us from troubles and he rescues us from troubles. But nowhere does it say you come to Jesus and he's going to take all your problems away, all your troubles away. Nowhere. So don't fall for it. Secondly, get comfortable in the presence of God. Get comfortable in the presence of God. Remember Isaiah 43, what it said? When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, right? So get comfortable in the presence of Jesus. There are some people that come into our worship service, they come into the presence of Jesus. The Bible says, when two or more gather together in my name, there I am. When we gather together for worship, the presence of Jesus, he's with us everywhere, but he's especially present. He manifests himself in our presence when we're together. And some of us, we don't even understand when I even participate. It's like, I'm kind of uncomfortable with worship, really, actually. That scares me. Because in the presence of Jesus, there's safety, there's protection, there's endurance. God is with us every step that we take. Remember Psalm 23, verse 4, from the English Standard Version. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, is there a greater life storm than the valley of the shadow of death? I will fear no evil, for you are with me. God is with us. We need to get comfortable. Are you comfortable in the presence of God? Don't be alone in the storm. The worst thing you can do is be alone in a storm. Look at me just for a second. The devil wants to isolate you in a storm. Why did I get this sickness? God must not love me. God's not real. Listen. So worst thing can happen to you is when you storms beat against your house. You're alone in the storm. He's there with you. Don't be alone in the storm. That is a recipe for disaster. Number three. I'm going to ask the musicians to come. We're almost done here. Number three, practice obedience in all things Jesus said. Listen. Make it your discipline to not just read and hear the word of the Lord, but make it your discipline that hearing God's word is not complete until you act on it. Right? Practice obedience in all things Jesus said. Study all that Jesus said with a mind to obey. You build wisely with obedience. Don't just hear it, do it. Don't just talk it, walk it. Right? Walk out your faith. Number four, we're obeying the texts. Make a plan of action for your life to be well built. Can I just tell you something? Don is here today. Don Alexander, wave to everyone, Don. Hey. Don helped us build and renovate this building. One thing Don did in the process, forgive me if I embarrass you, Don, I'm going to ask for your forgiveness rather than your permission. I had meeting after meeting after meeting with Don in the renovation process. Pastor Barry, we got to plan this out. We got to have a plan. We got to have a plan. We got to get the architects in. We got to have a plan. And I was like, can we just build something? We've been talking about this for years. Let's get started. Pastor Barry, honestly, we got to have a plan. We got to, listen, nothing's going to get done right without a plan. Your house is not going to be well built if you don't have a plan of action. Well, I just think I like to be spontaneous. I'm all for spontaneity, but your house is not going to be built spontaneously. They don't have to come up with a plan. Right now, today is small groups. We're one of the best ways that you can plan, join a small group. That's a good plan. I've joined small groups before. It never worked out for me. Okay, well, I don't know. Don't go deep then. Just be shallow. I don't know. It's not going to happen spontaneously. It's going to happen intentionally when you make a plan. Make a plan. Join a small group. Good start. Go deep. Number five. Let me just say this. This is important to say. Sometimes simple survival is good enough. You know, I believe with all my heart that God wants you to thrive in this life. God wants you to thrive. Look at me for a second. But sometimes the storms are so big, it takes all of our faith, all of our energy, all of our prayers, all of our intensity to just survive. I get that. And listen to me, that's okay. It's not all the time, but sometimes the storms are so hard and so bad and come on you so severe that survival is a victory. It's a victory. So listen to me. If you're thinking about quitting and giving up on your faith, don't do it. Don't do it. Survive. Hang on. Hang on for dear life. Weeping may endure through the night, but joy comes in the morning. Hang on. It's going to be worth it all. James says in chapter 1, verse 12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm going to have to crawl across the finish line, right? I hope the finish line has a handle to grab when I pull myself across it. Sometimes that's all you can hope for. That's all you can do. You got to get across the line. You can't quit. You can't give up. You got to make it through till the storm passes by. With me? Now, next Sunday, I'm going to talk about why the storms come. I'm going to give you some survival training next week. I want to leave you with a quote from one of my favorite New Testament commentators. In the Expositor's Bible Commentary, D.A. Carson writes this. This is put on the screen. Those who pretend to have faith, who have a merely intellectual commitment, or who enjoy Jesus in small doses, are foolish builders. When the storms of life come, their structures fool no one, above all, not God. Could that be you? Maybe you like to come to church. You feel good about yourself. You know, you feel good about yourself in church. Or perhaps the teachings of Jesus feel good to you in small doses, you know. I like small doses of Jesus. You read the Bible, you call yourself a Christian, but you've never dug down deep. You've just been splashing around in the shallow waters of faith. Listen, the storms of life are coming, and they will beat against your house. And if your faith doesn't go any deeper than the beach sand, it's gonna crash. Today is your day. Take the first step. Get out your shovel, and let's go deep down. Let's go all the way down to the rock solid foundation. Stand with me if you would. I'm going to have our prayer partners come today. You might need to take that first step toward a deeper walk by coming and asking some of our prayer partners to pray with you. Frank and Nikki do this often. We have some new prayer partners today, Parfait and his wife Stevie, people of prayer. We'd love to pray with you today. If you need prayer for whatever it is you need, a storm is hitting your life, you feel like quitting, you feel threatened, it's going to swamp your boat, don't do it. Survive. Survive one day at a time. Let's pray. Father God, we hear the words of Jesus today. He's asking us why we call him Lord, Lord, but don't do what he says. Forgive us for hearing Jesus' words but not obeying them. We repent for building the house of our faith on unsure, sandy ground of feelings and personal truth. Help us, Holy Spirit, to dig down deep and build our faith on Jesus Christ, the rock, the cornerstone. All other ground is sinking sand. Thank you for the knowledge of your word. Give us, Jesus, the grace to do what it says. Pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, come.
Thank you for joining us in the Tiffany Fellowship Sermon Series. We truly hope that you were moved by the Word of God. It is our desire to see you built up in your faith, adding to the unity and strength of God's kingdom. You're invited to get connected at Tiffany Fellowship Church. If you're hearing the inspirational words of God for the first time, we would like to extend a helping hand in the decisions that are before you. So be encouraged to contact any of our staff members to meet and pray over the life-changing choices God has for you. As we close, our prayer is that the Lord will richly bless you, showing his kindness, compassion, and love to you. As well, if you are so moved, we would like to afford you the opportunity give generously in support of this ministry and simply point to our available online giving opportunities. Be blessed in this day. Be continually encouraged by God's word.